All right, I'd like to welcome everybody to the bail bond oversight board meeting. If anybody has an opportunity to look over the minutes, we can get a motion to pass those.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? No executive session. Kathy, do you have a summary report for us?
Yes.
It looks like it was pretty,
Well, there's nothing to report at the present time, but going forward, we've changed what information we are going to be reporting to you based on what we are supposed to be reporting. So if we reference the completed investigations, one of the things that now we're going to make sure happens is that when I've got the information regarding the investigation, we have to present that to the board. It would be in a telephonic conference. The board would do their recommendations, and then we would go ahead and take the appropriate action.
And this would be prior to the board meeting, correct?
Correct. Yes. So depending upon the circumstances, we might have a lot more telephonic conferences.
Okay, that doesn't bother me a bit.
All right. The agency recommendations, the next report that we are going to be doing, is this is when a license has lapsed, been suspended, been revoked, and they're in the process of trying to have their license reinstated. The board actually has to do a recommendation. So any of those type of licenses, agency licenses that come forward, it would be another telephonic conference.
Okay.
To determine what the board recommends.
In your experience, how often does that actually happen, where agencies' licenses either lapsed or revoked or whatever? I mean, would you say a few times a year?
As far as being revoked, we've had licenses been suspended and then they've been revoked for forfeiture judgment not paying those. But as far as per year,
who knows?
Yeah.
I
can tell you that I haven't had any of them come back and want to be reinstated.
Once they have been.
Once they have been, yes.
Okay. And we're talking about this particular situation only in the event that they are looking for reinstatement, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Then you've got the new applications, and we've been basically doing that. We've been presenting the application at the board meeting, so that would continue in that respect. We're going to be reporting on that too.
Okay.
And then the final thing that we will be reporting on is the itemized accounting. And Reed is going to be talking a little bit more about that today, but going forward, it will be reported on our report.
And will that be just in our regular general session, or
yes,
is that going to be in executive?
It will be just in the general.
Okay. I do have a question on the audits. Are you still chugging along on those, or?
Well, right at the present time, we're not doing, I'm not conducting an audit.
Okay, it should be here next week. Yeah, that's all I'm asking for, just anticipating my audit.
So can I add to that as well?
Absolutely.
So with market conduct moving into the property and casualty division, Kathy is also working property and casualty investigations. So while audits are not required, she will audit annually as you guys send your annual reports in, and that's when she'll do kind of an annual look at all agencies.
Good to know. Thank you. That's it, Kathy. We'll move on to next. New business. Proposed changes to 590-186. Reed?
Thank you. Hopefully everybody got a copy of those. Our objective was twofold. First, to get rid of a lot of, frankly, what I thought was jargon and a bunch of legalese and make make everything simpler to read and understand. And we did that primarily with the description of the application process. You've also got a copy of a renewal application, which the department hasn't had before, even though the statute requires that or contemplates that. And so we'll be using that, and hopefully that'll make things a little bit easier for the folks that are renewing. We think we've pared down the requirements that folks have to submit to get a renewal with that. The other change I've made, and I talked about this a bit at our last meeting, we were concerned about the length of time that could potentially be taken in an investigation of a written complaint. It could go on for 6 months, and we thought that was way too long. And so we rewrote the rule, so it basically says we'll conduct the investigation, we'll submit our findings and a recommended disposition to the board, they'll give their input, and then we'll make a final decision and move forward with an enforcement action. I think that's a lot more streamlined than the process described in the rule now, which involves a lot of backing and forthing, waiting for 30 days for this, waiting for 30 days for that. So those are the primary changes. There are some other tweaks to make the rule read a little easier, I think. I can answer any questions if anybody has any questions about the rule. Yeah.
Just one quick question, Reed. Yeah. So on the first page, under 590.186.4, when it starts crossing out all the financial requirements, all of those are listed in 31A.35.404.
Right.
Okay, so it was just redundant. Is that what you were
saying? Yeah,
okay.
Redundant.
Got
we don't
it.
Have to have all that stuff.
Got it. Okay, that was my question.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Did you write this? Who did this?
I did.
I thought it was very well written.
Oh.
I was going to say that.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's nice of you to say.
The goal to get rid of the jargon, I thought, was met.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Since we're renewing that, I mean, going over this rule, I talked to Kathy a little bit about this on the letter from the CPA that we're required to have every year.
Yeah.
If we're willing to let Kathy examine our bank statements and let her examine our property statements and that, is there a way that we could preempt having the CPA do the letter? Because basically in my situation, what I do is I tell the CPA what it is, I provide him the financial statements, show him my liquid assets, show my property, and he regurgitates it back onto a piece of paper and charges me $1,500. And then in turn, I take that same stuff and hand it to Kathy so she can see it anyway. And so I'm just trying to figure out a way to avoid that CPA letter.
I get where you're coming from. The statute says reviewed by a certified professional accountant. And so that's not something we can get away with. But what you can't get away with is you don't have to produce all those documents to Kathy now. All you have to do is produce the letter from the CPA that says, yeah.
I know, but it makes her job a lot easier. It makes my job a lot easier just to give it to her, too. So I'm just wondering.
Actually, it doesn't make her job easier. Because she's not a CPA, and so we're trying to put responsibility for reviewing those things with the person who has the skills and education to do that. I understand your quandary, but all of us are in the same boat here, and we're stuck with that language in the statute that says CPA.
The only way to change that would be by legislation. Because it's in statute, not in the rule. Rule we can change that.
Yeah.
Here.
Because it just seems very redundant and unnecessary.
Well, it might not hurt to talk to a legislator to see if there's some recommendations you can make that would ease it up, but still be efficient enough to where they can say everything looks good.
Because that's a big expense. I don't know for you guys, but between $800 and $1,500 for a CPA put on a piece of paper where I already told him and showed him. It's a lot of money.
You need to change CPA.
I don't want you to get one cheaper than $800, though. You guys, you know where I can get one.
No, I think that's about
Shop them.
I know. And they all want like between 800 and 1500.
Reed, has this been published yet?
No. The department wanted to get everybody's take on it before we went ahead and did that.
So what's your target date for publishing?
Assuming all goes well here, I'd like to get it out right away.
Okay. What that means, everybody, is that once it's published, you got a 30-day public comment period. If there's everything, if there's no objection to it, then it just goes into effect.
Is that all on 591?
Yeah, that's all on the rule.
Can we have Steve perhaps email everybody and let us know when the data gets published?
Right.
And anybody that wants to be notified on that should have the ability to get notified when that's been published so they can review it and give the public comments if they want to.
So what I do, whenever I file any rule, I always send it to whoever is the concerned parties, whoever would be affected by it. So I run a list of all the bail bond agencies and send it out to everybody. So yeah, you'll get it. It'll have links for the rule and the filing form so you can see what we've written and all that sort of stuff.
Next, we'll move to the quarterly accounting reports for the bail bond administrative account. That's Reed.
Yeah, thank you. The statute that we've cited here on the agenda says that at every meeting, the department is to report the beginning and ending balance of the bail bond administration account that's set up by the statute. And so, as Kathy mentioned, we're going to be starting to do that. The account really doesn't change too much. Essentially, we get deposits from, and we've got our department accountant here who can jump in and let me know if I say anything incorrectly. Essentially, we have three expenditures that come out of the account. The cost of this meeting, any cost to reimburse the folks who put in a request for reimbursement who come to this meeting, any of the board members. And then the third one is the cost associated with Kathy's salary to the extent that she works on bail.
She gets paid.
and so that's basically it. For the last quarter, the beginning and ending balances happen to be the same, $39,913.63. Any questions about that? I can try to answer them. We can have our financial.
What's that number again, Reed?
$39,913.63.
Can you tell me how that account's funded? Is that an appropriation or is that
all of our renewal fees, right? Solely?
It's carried over year to year. Is that right, Patrick?
It is. So it's okay.
Yes, please. Why don't you come up front so you can...
I didn't know if I needed it, like...
Everyone, this is Patrick Lee. He does wonderful things in the department. He takes good care of us.
So everything that we do with the account is consistent with what's in statute, and then, of course, rules based on statute, as I mentioned earlier. So with the bail bond surety administration account, your question... What specifically was?
Yeah, what goes into the account?
Oh, okay, right.
How's it funded?
So everything's funded based on the bail bond assessment, any penalties that may be assessed during the course of the year, and that's pretty much it. Yeah,
okay.
As you said, Reed, it's carried over, so if it was to have a certain balance year after year, that money would be carried over.
That's accurate, yes. Yeah, it stays in the account. So the account is what's called a general fund restricted account. The way that the account was written, I believe it was introduced in 1998 legislative general session. And so the way the account works is that any funds that are collected remain with the account. They don't go back to the general fund. They stay with the account. They don't leave the account ever. And so any expenditures that are related to the account or any collections to the account are all statutorily based, and that's the only way that we can operate to be able to flow money into the account or out of it. So like your meals today, that's one of the expenditures that comes from the account as well.
So basically it's just, when it's not like our licensing fees and different things like that, it's just based off of fines or?
It would be licensing fees related to bail bond only. Yeah.
So when those, we renew our license every year and pay those fees, it all goes into this account.
That's accurate.
Okay.
Yes. And so then that
so
money.
Fines and fees.
Exactly. Any money that, or any time that's spent by Kathy, Tracy, Reed, or myself, I guess Steve too, would be charged to the bail bond surety administration account. Yeah.
What are the percentages that's acquired or accrued that's from fees alone?
The percentage of the total revenue of the account, that's the majority that's in the account. I would say it's probably 90% plus, yeah. And it depends, like in previous years, there were maybe some more penalties assessed. This is probably like speaking 5 years ago. And then, that was maybe a high year, and then recent years, been very few penalties, and so we haven't collected as much, and so there's not, an incentive to do that. The vast majority of the funding from the account comes off of the fees collected from the bail bond assessment.
That was 9 years ago. I remember really.
Oh, okay. it's been a few years since it's been that high, but when that balance was collected to the account, the account's been running off of that quite a bit because we haven't collected as many revenues in the more recent years.
So as you start giving these reports, which I think is great because none of us knew how it worked anyway, will it be retroactive? Will we be able to go back and see 10 years ago what the quarterly or yearly balance was and moving forward? Is that something we can request?
I don't think I should respond to that, but I could get that data for the board if they request it.
I think we've got the records to do that. I would like to know that there's a purpose behind that before
we
went to all that trouble.
I think the purpose for it in my mind would just be, what is the average? How much is typically in there? What is the average? Is it depending on how many bail bond companies are in business? Because that fluctuates, quite a bit as well. We have new ones come. We have some people that go out of business or walk away. And so I would just be interested to see over the years, because it does kind of reflect on our end of things through the court by how many active agencies we have, how many FTAs we have. I mean, it has a reflection on quite a bit of things that we do as well.
So it sounds like maybe you'd want something that says number of agencies, and then average year-end balance.
Yeah,
fiscal year-end
that
balance,
would be interesting to look at that compared to the audit the legislator did a few years ago on the bail bond and see if that all correlates.
Okay, so Patrick, you're saying you could get the balance for the last,
Do
you really want 10 years?
I would kind of be interested to know, because I think that's the information that they took off of the legislative audit. They went back quite a while to see what our stuff was.
Do you want it to be fiscal year end for the state, because that's June 30th every year?
I don't know that it matters.
That'd probably be the easiest.
Yeah, I mean, whatever's easiest for you. I certainly don't want to complicate anything, because I have to say, Reed, I'm I'm very encouraged with some of the stuff you've done here. This streamlining thing, you might be my new best friend. No, really, because it is confusing.
That's two compliments to Reed today.
I mean, Reed, I didn't even know I liked you. But I think I do, because this is giving me warm fuzzy, so thank you.
Good.
Patrick, I have a question. Would you, in your recollection, would you describe that account as fairly balanced as far as is the revenue going into it, similar to the expenditures, or would you say that we've basically been dwindling that account from that period of 5 years ago or 9 years ago that we?
Yeah, that's it's fluctuated quite a bit. There have been some high years in terms of revenue, and some high years as far as the expenditure side. I'd say that there is a while that the account, or the program, I should say, Belmont program, was a bit subsidized from other areas of the insurance department. We've corrected that in more recent years so that Belmont is on its own, and it has to be that way because it's its own line item, and we're not allowed by the legislature to transfer between line items. So in saying that, there was, essentially the way it happened was that the person that was in insurance that was overseeing bail bond was getting paid more from a different area than they were from bail bond. And so we needed to kind of clean that up to make sure that they were getting paid from the right areas. And so, going back, you'll see some fluctuations with that, but the account has been, we've been collecting less revenue. And like last year, the expenditures were pretty high. But because we've had that balance, that fund balance, we haven't had much of an issue. Now, if it continues that same way, we'll need to make some corrections and collect more revenue to make sure that we're covering the full amount of the costs. We did have the legislature and the governor's office approve to increase the appropriation, which only means the authority of the amount to spend. So. We basically were at the edge, and we were close to overspending the appropriated amount, so we had to get them to bump it up because it's within its own line item. And so in doing that, it doesn't necessarily mean that we'll spend that amount, but if we need to, then that's available and has been made available by the legislature. But the issue that comes in is we need to make sure that we collect enough to meet the expenditures. And yeah, about the last 2 or 3 years, we haven't been doing that. The revenues have been lower than the expenditures for the account.
So is that kind of like a cop writing a speeding ticket? And Kathy's the cop, and when they need to fill their quota?
Just don't speed, right?
On that note, I would say that it's, there's been like maybe that 1 year. I've been the finance director for about 7 years. I think that's like the only year I've ever seen like that. Other than that, it's the vast majority of the revenue for the account has pretty much always been the available on the assessment.
So. Are the agency fees only things that are funding that, or are agent licensing fees also funding that?
That's a good question, and that's a discussion we've had. Would you mind speaking to that
a little bit? I think it's both, isn't it?
Yeah, it technically is both, but we've had to make sure that those were pulling in from our system, and so it should be both, yeah.
Now this begs a question, it might be best for Reed to answer, or somebody within the department. What would be the mechanism to increase bail bond agency renewal fees to get more in line with traditional expenditures out of that account versus running into an issue of being underfunded and somebody trying to find other methods of generating revenue?
Sure. Do you want to respond to that, or would you like me
to? Reed, I can add to that before you even respond. So about 10 years ago, there was a major surplus in that account, and we lessened our fees because the money was just sitting there doing nothing. Just FYI.
Okay.
Yeah, I think.
How did that happen, do you recall? Just the board
record. I think we asked to see what the balance of the account was, and there was all this money sitting in there, so we're like, well, someone motioned, why should we be paying X amount for our licensing fees, and I think we cut it in half almost.
Yeah, I think that's before
just
I got
FYI.
Here, but yeah, it does sound like historically that's what was done.
When was that?
10 years ago or so, roughly.
That might be
can
something
we
you could
back to a,
bring into that report.
Wasn't it 500 to begin
it
with?
It was 500 every other year, but it was cut to 200, so it's the same.
Got
it's
it.
The exact same. It's 200 and whatever we pay now yearly instead of 500 every other year.
Yeah, we
thanks,
haven't made, I haven't made any adjustments in the last 7 years. But yeah, that is something that can be looked at. It's something that we've discussed. We hadn't done anything yet, and I guess hadn't decided to propose anything to the board yet, because we do have that fund balance, and similar to what he's mentioned, Dominic said, is that we can use that fund balance to make sure that we're covering the costs each year. We do have to be a little careful. Looking at costs so far this year, they've been much lower, around 10,000 to this point in the year. And so my guess is we probably only reach around 15,000, 20,000 at most of the 35,000 appropriated. And so that's, I'll have to look back at the revenue collections for this year, but we may want to hold out another year before doing that, just to see how things kind of fluctuate and pan out.
I personally think that the renewal and the agency licensing fees by the state are cheap enough as it is. I don't think that I'd have any problem personally with them being a little bit higher to get more in line with what expenditures would be. You know, so.
I second that.
That's part of the reason what makes this room so crowded is that the licensing fees are so low as it is.
Reed, this $39,000, just a clarification, is that the current fund balance?
Yep. Yes, that's okay. Right. It's the fund balance as of the beginning of the end of quarter two, beginning of quarter three. It's also it's remained the same over the quarter, so there hasn't been any change. There's fluctuation. The cash balance is different than the fund balance. The cash balance will fluctuate across the course
of
the year.
This is the fund balance.
But this is the fund balance.
And,
yeah.
Is there a number there on what the expenditures were out of that fund for the first two quarters?
Yeah, actually, I believe, I'd have to go back and calculate the total expenditures, but I could have that to you in a couple of minutes. If you give me a sec, I'll put it together.
That'd be great, thank you.
Well, if that's all the questions about the administrative account, then we'll move on.
This last one's mine too, I guess.
Yep.
As Kathy's mentioned, one of the things that the board is supposed to do is give recommendations on license renewals. It's in 35202, it says that. The license renewals are due on July 15th. The next meeting of the board is on July 1st, and then the following one is going to be in October. It would be more convenient, I think, if we had our next meeting after those renewals were received, so everyone on the board could make a recommendation about the renewals, as the statute requires. So we're suggesting to put off the meeting on July 1st,
July
10th, excuse me, and put it closer to sometime the first week in August. So we'll have all that renewal information, and we can present it to the board, and not have to have a separate meeting to get the board's okay on those renewals.
And moving it to August, sometime in August. Requirements of having a meeting.
Well, yeah, I guess we could, I guess we'd still have to, see, the statute requires a meeting every quarter, I guess, doesn't it? Well, then.
Well,
there's
got to
be a provision for some kind of
a
waiver or something like that.
Steve makes a good point. We could certainly, it doesn't, a quarterly meeting doesn't mean it has to be exactly a quarter between each meeting. It's during the quarter, so I think we would be okay if we just had a meeting sometime end of July, 1st of August, depending on the number of renewals Kathy gets and how quick she's able to process them and get all the information together ready to present to you folks.
They'll give her a couple of weeks to get everything
That's what we're hoping to do, yeah.
Kathy, would you estimate that a couple of weeks would be sufficient time to be prepared for that?
I believe it would be. Generally speaking, the agencies do go ahead because it is required to have the information by July 15th. And then, as long as all the information is in by then it shouldn't be a problem.
And would you also estimate that simplification of 590-186 would help expedite your process as well, yes?
Extremely.
Is there a question in the back there?
I was just going to ask, what is the intention of the board looking into the renewals, just for my own education?
That's never been done before.
Well, here's what the statute says. The board shall recommend to the commissioner action regarding the granting, renewing, suspending, revoking, and reinstating of bail bond agency licenses. It's pretty clear that the board makes a recommendation as to the renewal.
I would assume that would be pertaining to people that a license that is in question by Kathy.
Yeah.
Not just looking at everybody's life. Just Kathy brings question. If there's a license that's not up to spec, she would bring that to the board, and then we would make a decision on it or a recommendation.
I think it would be. She would present a list to you. Here are the renewals, and if there are any that we're thinking shouldn't be renewed, we'll present that information to you. But you'll at least have identified for you the names of all the renewal, all the people who are seeking renewal.
I'll vote against you, Gordon.
Clay.
Go ahead, Gordon.
So we've had this issue when I was up there, and they said that the board does not have a right to see the financial statements of the other bond companies, and that's why Kathy reports and says they met the minimum qualifications for renewal, and that's why we never voted on the renewals, because I hesitate to let you guys see my financial statements, but we have to let Kathy see it.
I'm not so sure that would be included in the renewal, because we're not able to see the financial statements on an application
item. That's right.
Say that again, sorry.
I'm not so sure that would be a case in the renewal that we'd be reviewing any financial statements, because we're not allowed to see the financial statements even on an initial application.
Exactly. That was my opinion. Yep. And then if I may, I don't want to be dead horse there, but Reed, I just reviewed the code on renewal. The letter from the CPA is not in the code. It is for an initial license. It is not for a renewal. It is in the rule. It's there. And I looked at 35A. Let me give you the code here.
Oh,
35A is 401. It talks about initial license. And then if you go to renewal, it doesn't say anything about the letter from the CPA, and it's all rule. The other thing I'd like to point out is the previous rule that we had stated that our renewals in 2002, 2008, 2014 had to have certain requirements. Renewals in 2005, 11, and 17 had to meet certain requirements. When 2017 passed, we've now gone back to this burden where we have to renew everything every year, meaning the letter of credit. The letter from the CPA. And I don't see that in the renewal code. All I see is it's required in the renewal thing, which you've already scratched out, stating that the letter of CPA is there. But that becomes a big burden where we have to do a full-blown renewal for property bail bondsmen every single year, requiring the letter of credit. Again, I go back to the point of I can prove to Kathy, and when she's done audits before on me and Jamie before her, the first thing they ask is to see my financials to make sure that I have the liquid cash. And I don't see the reason that it is necessary for CPA to regurgitate onto a piece of paper what I can show Kathy. And it is, I do not see it. Kathy, am I wrong? Is it in the renewal of 35A? I see it for the initial license, but I do not see it for the renewal.
Well, as I read the code, you still have to comply with the same requirements
for initial that you do for renewal?
No, you don't, because on the initial you have to put in 2 years of taxes. On the renewal you only have to put in 1 year of taxes. There's a whole bunch of different things.
You don't have to do taxes anymore.
Yes, you do.
You don't have to do taxes for renewal. We've changed that.
When was that changed?
The code specifically says in the statute itself that if you are collaterally back, that you only have to, it specifically says you only have to include your taxes on the original application. The rest of this code does not talk about original application. If you're collaterally back, these are requirements that would always be expected every year. We have the burden to verify that you have enough collateral to support the bond you're writing. And so that's, with the taxes, it's specific to original application. Everything
else
is not.
So our renewals, we don't have to do taxes anymore?
No.
That changed this year?
It changed as we've been going through this process. Because that is, the code is specific.
Okay, but then that still makes my point that it's different from original license.
Well, on that one part only, it talks about original
application. Does the code say on renewals in the code 35A that we have to have a CPA do a renewal?
No, but the rest of the code that applies to the collaterally backed is a part of the code. We're responsible for verifying your financials and that you have the collateral. And if we only asked for it when you originally got licensed, it wouldn't make any sense that we would never verify it.
I don't want it verified. I'm saying if I produce to you my bank statement that says he has X amount of hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I can produce 12 months or 5 years of statements saying that I've had that money there, why does a CPA need to say that?
Because we don't have the expertise to go through bank statements. We need a CPA to verify for you,
but if you have
for
a monthly
us,
statement that shows that it's been there for every month. Like,
we're not accountants. So that's the part that I think.
Okay,
the reason
why can't we go back to every year then designating when we have a renewal that in 2008 we do this, or you know, now at 2019 we do this, 2022 we do this, and that, because that's how the old code was. But when that rule expired, we've gone back to this full-blown renewal. I'm not worried about having the assets for my company. I have them, and I'm willing to show everybody that I have them. You know, I'm willing to show Kathy. What bothers me is that we have to hire that stupid CPA that already dings me a ton of money for my taxes, and then dings me again for some stupid letter that says I have the money, which I have the money, and I'm able to produce it. We didn't have to do that before, and this only started in 2018. Where we've had to renew and show that letter every single year, and from here going on out. And so why can't we go back to, you've crossed it out for like a renewal in 2002, 2008, 2014, a preliminary title report dated no more than 1 month prior to the date, and it tells you what you have to do for that year for renewal, and we didn't have to produce that letter every single year. Now, we have to produce that letter every single year. So in addition to paying our fee to renew, which is 200 whatever, then we have to pay the accountant whatever the account's going to charge. And if anybody in this room has a cheaper accountant, I'd jump all over it. But I have yet to find one that's under $800 to do that letter. And again, I'm providing that accountant that information. He looks at my bank statements and goes, yeah, that's true, it's there, and puts it on a letter and sends me a bill for $1,500.
So what you're saying, though, Reed, is it's in statute that there's got to be a CPA or accounting
for an initial
professional.
License. I don't see where it says renewal.
It doesn't have to say renewal because it applies each time.
But how do we get away with, since 2005, not having to do that until 2018?
Because the rule might have been inconsistent with the statute.
It wasn't in statute, it was in a rule.
But you're saying it's in statute that that's got to be done. So if that's what's being interpreted here, then we need to get a statutory change.
But I don't see where it says in the renewal, because there's a renewal code. It's 35, whatever, 402, and it doesn't say CPA letter. The rule says CPA letter.
And so
for renewal.
The code that Gordon's looking at is
I'll
minimum
talk to you,
financial.
We'll talk after. I don't want to delay the meeting, but I just think that's something that could be an easy change, could be easily fixed. I mean, do you guys like paying that money every year? I don't.
I actually pay more.
See?
Three times more.
See?
Than
for
and
that,
you
to
find your accountant's phone number.
You give it to your accountant, your year just takes it on paper and charges your money.
Maybe as an industry, we could approach a particular CPA and say, look, if you want to do eight of these.
If we can find one CPA that would do everybody's,
that's a really great idea.
I paid the account, so I don't have to deal with it.
But we didn't have to do it in 2005 to 2018. We didn't have to do it, and now all of a sudden we have to do it. No code has changed, but we have to do it. We weren't required to do it, now we're required.
So is there a difference in new versus the renewal on what has got to be provided?
Taxes. We don't require taxes.
Just on a renewal. But you still require that letter.
Right.
But the letter, I said, doesn't. There's nothing in the renewal part of the statute that says you got to have that.
Well, the renewal says you have to continue to meet all the requirements, though. So it doesn't
really
right, have
but,
to
but a copy of his taxes would do that. If he wanted to provide a copy, he's already got those, so he should be able to provide that, and it would document his position.
I think the issue isn't the copy of the taxes. I think the issue is having an expert review them. That's what the code says needs to happen. Is an expert CPA needs to review those. It's the review that we're looking for. It's not the copy of your taxes.
No, but if it, who does your taxes? CPA.
Uh-huh.
There you go, it's already done.
The taxes don't have the information though, that we're the tax returns don't have the information we're looking for though. That's just income. It's not really
you're looking
your
for
liabilities.
More of a balance sheet type of a deal or
well that yeah, that's what it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean if you have an unscrupulous accountant and I wanted to pay my accountant enough money and I didn't have that money in there. The account could just lie and say the money's there. My way, I'm saying, I'll show Kathy my money. I'll show it to her. Here it is on my bank statements. I don't want to do the letter to the CPA. But I mean, because if you're talking about doing fraud, it would seem to me that you could pay off the CPA a lot quicker than I could pay off Kathy.
If you look at the application, it's pretty simple. If you're collaterally backed, you produce the letter.
Yeah, but that's in a rule. I don't see it in the code. I don't know how. Because, like I'm saying, from 2005 to 2018, we didn't follow that, apparently. We weren't following the law. And yet we had, when I was up there, we had, what was that guy's name? Brett, who made us do everything, you know, by the book, by code. So now we're just saying Brett was wrong. And from 2005 to 2018, and now we have to do this letter that we haven't had to do for the past, you know, 10, 15 years. We haven't had to do it, but now all of a sudden we have to do it. No code has changed. Rule has changed. Not a code. A rule has changed.
Gordon, I wonder if when you do your taxes, your accountant could give you something at the same time.
Yeah, for an additional $1,500,
they could give it to you. Like a profit loss thing, maybe they could just add your assets at the same time.
Doesn't work.
Not to change the subject, but on the same line, so that change is apparent, obviously, but the other change that we don't have to provide an appraisal again, right? Anymore until the or ever. It just says a title report from the, or excuse me, current abstract of title from the recorder's office as a last point for personal property.
Yeah. That's just what the statute says, so it's one of those things. You're talking about the last box there?
Correct.
Yeah.
So instead of, that's a break for us, instead of having us to go get that appraisal within 6 months, we only have to refer that abstract to county recorder.
That's right. So you either have a certified appraisal or a tax notice plus a title letter or a current abstract from the title county recorder. That's what the statute says.
Yes, okay. Wonderful.
did you have a question? Do you remember anymore what it was?
No idea.
I was going for a record on the quickest board meeting, but thanks a lot, Gordon. That ain't gonna happen. If we have any more questions on renewals, we'll field them. Otherwise, we'll move on to old business.
This is awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Good.
Third comment, or third compliment.
He's already my best friend. So
does renewal mean the prior year? Said prior year. Are you talking calendar year or licensing year? You said prior.
Yeah, it's
year. That would be my assumption. It's the licensing year.
Why did you do the assumption licensing year also, but you said prior year?
Okay. Well, this needs some tweaking a little bit, so we can add that word in there. Prior licensing year. That's a good suggestion.
Thank you. Moving on to old business, there is none. And moving on to other business, I don't believe there's none either.
I just have a question. Apparently I'm done June 30th. Is that right?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
So we do have, so you were just finishing up Stephen's
term. Mm-hmm. And that was his second term.
It was, yeah.
So I'm not eligible to be reappointed for it.
Not exactly. We went back to the boards and commissions, and they've said that depending on the length of time you served someone's term, you can get your own or not. So you and Kurt will both.
I'm not off the hook, man.
Not off the hook. Unless you want to be.
Unless you request to be.
So you and Kurt are both eligible for your own, your own full term if you'd like.
Okay, so I ran into the commissioner at a function here last week or the week before, and I asked him, "What do you need me to write a letter?" And he said, "No, I'll take care of it." So,
yeah. You're okay. I actually have letters written for everybody. I just haven't sent them out yet.
Okay. So.
You need a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
One quick question. I received an email to be invited to be part of the board member, and I applied on the 1st, and then so there's no indication as to what I need to do next. So
we had a number of applications, and we went through and made, I guess, what's the word? Reviewed them, yeah. Reviewed the applications with the commissioner, and he's made some determinations, and we'll let everybody know probably shortly.
Okay.
Before we go, go ahead. There was a question about expenditures to date this year, and we have that information if you'd like to hear it before we actually get out of here.
Absolutely. Yes.
So the total expenditures year to date, as of the close of accounting period 9, which is the end of quarter 3, is $9,505.61.
Say that again.
$9,505.61.
Okay, but the $39,009 was at the end of quarter 2?
That's the fund balance. So in a sense, that fund balance kind of sets aside during the year. And then, revenues, we'll be doing the assessment next month. So we'll have the revenue for this current fiscal year, and then the expenditures have been going, across the course of the fiscal year.
Okay,
so that will adjust that fund balance.
The quarter 3, obviously, from July 1st last year. So
for 3 quarters, about $3,000 a quarter, and so that's out of appropriation of about $35,000.
Try it again. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All